Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
It is a Friday morning. Oh, we can't wait. We love Fridays. Can't wait for this day to unfold. Here you go.
Oh, God.
Thank God it's
Friday. There you go.
I get a bit confused when Thursday night footy's on. What day it is? Oh, yeah. I actually woke up and thought, oh, is it Saturday today?
Yeah, so footy tonight. It's the Crows and St Kilda here on Triple M. So we'll rock footy tonight, but a massive morning coming up here on Triple M.
We're going to have to do overtime again today, Dits. I don't know how we're going to fit all this stuff in today.
Hey, Leighton Hewitt's going to join us. This is an exclusive this morning on Adelaide Radio. Yep. He's only talking to us. And this is about jumping into the ice bath on the weekend.
Freeze MND at the MCG on Monday afternoon for Neil Danaher. Neil Danaher and Leighton Hewitt are going to join us later on to have a chat about that on Monday. A magnificent effort by Neil Danaher, who is struggling a bit, it's fair to say now. He's about 3 or 4 years in, I think. I think they said he only had a couple of years to live. And look, he's in a bit of pain, you can tell, but he's doing an unbelievable job raising money, which is helping find a cure for MND.
Yeah, and great that the likes of Leighton Hewitt are getting behind it this year as well. So we'll talk to them. Also, Lawrence Mooney will give us a bit of a laugh later on this morning as well.
We've got Peter Farris coming on later. I'm looking forward to this. I want to know what being on a watch list actually means, how detailed it is, how close it is, or is it just that they're on there and if they stuff up that then they know they'd committed offence before. I don't know how much is involved in it, but Peter Farris is going to help us out later. He's also going to talk to us about parole and whether we are too lenient in Australia with people on parole.
He's our QC. If you listen to the program regularly, you'll know Peter Farris, and he always comes out swinging, Roo.
The Week That Was is our favourite segment too, one of our favourite segments. We're going to preview the footy tonight. Nathan Lovett-Murray, an Essendon player. This is interesting. When the big Essendon supplement saga happened, it's the big thing that people were talking to me about behind the scenes was, gee, when these guys have kids, if there's health issues down the track, there's going to be lots of litigation. Well, Nathan, unfortunately, his daughter has got some medical issues at the moment and he's not happy at all about it. So we'll talk about that as well.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
So much news around the place this morning, Roo. It is 6:12. It's 7 degrees at the moment. It will be 16 today and partly cloudy. Last night, the Saudi Arabian soccer team, I think, has really shoved its middle finger up to the whole world. It just an absolute act of disrespect last night. They've upset everybody. I hope they explain today what they're all on about.
Tragic events that took place in London last Saturday night. We stop to remember all the lives lost, all those families and friends affected by this terrible tragedy, and in particular, we reflect on the loss of two young Australian women living and working in London, Kirsty Bowden and Sarah Zeller.
Everyone bowed their heads and, as reported, the Saudi Arabian team kept warming up and didn't stand there, and along with their supporters over at their end, continued to make noise throughout the entire minute silence, which was incredibly disrespectful, because I know if we had to go to Saudi Arabia and we disrespected their customs, it would be looked on very disgustingly.
Are you telling me that was from the Saudi Arabian supporters?
100%.
There you go. That's a caller to our overnight program. Roo, this is just so disrespectful. And I tell you what, they need to apologise this morning. Their team, their manager, their coach, their captain need to come out and explain what they did, why they did it. And actually, they need to apologise in a big, big way.
I don't even know if an apologise is going to be enough.
Well, it's
because
not.
They knew what they were doing. And if you know what you're doing, I don't know if an apology works, because like, even AFL, we've had our issues this year with 50,000 crowds with racism and bits of behaviour. But if we stop for a minute silence for anything, or stop to respect people on Anzac Day or whatever, you can hear a pin drop at Adelaide Oval or the MCG or State of Origin in the NRL. Everyone shuts up for a minute, and there's people on the booze, and they do it right and they respect and do everything. If we did go over there, we would do everything right in their country. That's the way we are.
You have to.
Why don't we reverse the bloody thing and do the and get stuck into them?
Gee, this makes me wild. I'll tell you what, get on a plane and rack off as quick as you can. If you, if you're going to act like that here, we're going to start getting harder on this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, like, oh, I can't believe no matter what religion you'd have, you wouldn't have respect for people that have died.
Mm.
If you don't respect that, you're obviously, you're nearly on the other team.
Well, you're condoning it.
You're condoning it. That's what I meant, yeah.
Gee, it's not good. It's not good enough.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. Hey, UK election is taking place right now. And I only mention this because this is on the back of, there are many, many British people listening, but on the back of Brexit and then on the back of the terrorist situation in recent times. So Theresa May called an early election. I just wonder how she'll get on, but that's happening right now, Roo.
Has she done a good job? Or
It's too early to tell, but she called it an election. She's only been in for a few months.
All right.
And she's called an election. So there might be a change of government over there on the back of what's happened. And that would have a flow-on effect to Australia,
they
really.
They need a bit of stability over there, don't they?
Yep, they do.
And we've got the wag in here this morning for top three, which is unusual because she said, I've got something to announce in top three this morning.
Well,
she's weaseling away into most segments at the moment.
Taking over. What happened was Phil Collins, very, very famous international singer, former lead singer of Genesis, but a massive solo career in his own right, has fallen over and injured himself in his hotel room. And it's quite nasty. It's quite bad.
Have we got audio?
Wag has got the audio. Wag, what happened when he actually fell over?
Yeah, I trolled the internet and I found exclusive audio of him actually falling.
Okay, give it
to
us.
Do you
want
to hear it?
Yeah.
It goes, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
There you go. That's Alice has been working on that all morning.
Oh, no. You're making light of someone who's falling over and is
sick. Oh, he fell over. Come on.
Okay.
Sorry,
okay.
Give us that audio again. What happened?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Right.
Oh, thank God it's 6, 17 and not 8, 10.
And he said, I can feel it coming in the air tonight, couldn't he? He did. All right, there you go. That's what's making news.
I'll make a coffee, Wag.
Can we lift the standard of this program, please?
Oh,
come
God.
On.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, time to relive the highlights.
And the lowlights and the of highlights. The week that was.
The top five things we've learned on Ruin Dits this week.
Number five, we learned sometimes it's okay for boys to cry.
We're a bit teary here. We're talking about all these movies. What makes the men of Adelaide break down and cry? Let's go to Angle Vale. Hello, Daniel.
Did get a little bit upset from the movie Red Dog.
Oh, Red Dog.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the whole of the northern part of Australia fell in love with the dog, didn't they?
Yeah, it was great. He's a great dog.
You're right.
Oh, hey, man. I've got to pull over
today. Oh, no. Yeah, my best mate reckons I cried in Ghost way back.
Are you denying it?
I don't remember. I think I had a bug in it or something. But, That's enough, Mel.
Number four. We learnt Roo's Father of the Year nomination may be... Well, cactus.
Rosie calls me cactus head because when she goes to kiss me, I spike her. Nearly left a kid in the Adelaide Hills. I'm blaming the two boys, the 8 and 6 year old, for not saying anything. They could have said there's one missing. Busy to that work. I'm not going anywhere today.
So it's pupil free day.
Yeah, and I'll be working all day.
Number three, Tex Walker was in, and we learnt he's great at Twitter comebacks.
Kane Corns has written an article in the paper today.
I saw that tweet last night.
Oh, honestly.
Kane put it out that his article on Twitter about players that should get their salaries made public, and Tex, what did you say?
You go first.
You go first.
Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Aaron Brockovich, Dale Kerrigan. Every now and then, someone comes along and reminds us we can take on the system or start a revolution. We learnt that person this week is Luke the Work Experience Kid.
At the canteen, there's a little table outside. It used to be the sauces, the barbecue sauce, tomato sauce and mustard.
Correct.
And,
yeah,
well,
you got
sauce on pies and pastas.
Yeah, exactly.
So what have they done?
They've taken that away and now you have to buy the little squeeze packets of sauces for 30 cents each.
Australian food. Young Luke is on the phone.
Morning, guys.
Right. G'day, Luke. As a result of our segment last week, Un-Australian, what's happened?
At school, I got a note in the home group in the morning saying, can you come to Mr. Filkey's office?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he rocks up and says, you know why you're here? And I said, oh, what I said on the radio? And then he says, I didn't know about it, and I don't like the idea of having to pay for all the sauces, so the table with the sauces will be back by the end of the week.
Yeah! Oh, there you go.
That's Australian.
There you go.
That's well Australian.
Done,
Luke. Well done.
That's a win for the little guy.
Yeah, well done.
Mick Molloy was on and had just seen Wonder Woman.
And the lasso of truth.
The lasso.
Lasso of truth.
And the number one thing we learned this week is about the worst superpower ever.
What would you have, guys? If you had to pick a superpower, what would you have?
See, I live in the hills here now, Mick, and it's freezing cold. Can someone please come up with a bath where the water stays warm?
Oh,
what a superpower.
Oh, it is.
Taking us to a dark place.
It starts going cold and I go, zam, and it's warm again.
Oh, bang.
There you go.
Faster than a speeding rubber ducky. More powerful than a hot water tap. Able to leap the bath mat in a single bound. It's Chris Dittmar. Hot water man.
Now, I'd go the Asian smoke bomb. Where you drop the smoke bomb and when the smoke clears, you've just disappeared.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? That one. Imagine you've gone home, had sex with someone for the first night, and they turn to you and say, do you want to stay the night?
Do you want to get married?
Excuse me, driver, blow into this bag. Hey, Mick, it's your shout. Hey, tell me more about the pies, Ed.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Brilliant.
He's an idiot.
You are an idiot too.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, we love our Moon Man, Lawrence Mooney, when he joins us. G'day, Moon.
Good morning to you, Roo. Hello to you, Dits, Mel, and hello to everyone in Adelaide.
Hey,
it's been a big week.
You're being friendly this morning.
I am up and about. I'm like ticking off the to-do list so quickly. Do you know why? Because I'm bored. I haven't had a drink for 8 days.
Oh, no.
Mate, I'm ready to mow the lawn and paint the house.
I can just hear my wife saying now, you don't have to drink to have fun.
Yes, you do.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And drink responsibly. What does that mean?
At least have good intentions anyway.
So what have you become obsessed with this week?
Go out there with a good heart.
What have you become obsessed with this week, Moons?
Oh, well, I've got to say, the video I've watched more and more is Andrew Bolt punching a couple of young radical left-wingers, and the bout only goes for a number of seconds. First of all, he's got some glitter paint sprayed in his face, and then he kicks off.
You know what that's like?
Yeah.
Yep, I know. I do not, but I don't punch the people that do it to me. I hug them. But if you're going to watch the video from a fight lover, you've got to wait for the big two right crosses at the end. First of all, into the guy with the North Melbourne beanie on, punching him. He all of a sudden realises this is not a good idea. And then Hoodie Boy is the last punch. He goes right inside the hoodie and he stops the kid. And I reckon he's already crying before he starts walking off. Like, you can see in his knees that he's quite badly stunned. I don't want to condone violence, but good on him.
Yeah.
Having a real crack. And I've actually met Andrew Bolt a couple of times. And the first time I wanted to say, you racist bastard. But he does stand 6'4".
Is he? Is he?
He's a big man.
Wow. You know, Ditz had a blow with him on radio. Mm. He ended up leaving and he's never coming back
hung
to Triple M Adelaide.
He won't talk to us again, so
why don't you guys organise a charity bout?
Yeah, don't worry.
I'll do 10 minutes to open up and then you guys just lay some lunches on one
another.
Let's get ready to rumble.
I'll just run around the ring and keep away from him for 10 minutes if I can.
He was raised in Rhodesia, and I'm sure they, you know, if Bryce Courtney's the power of one is anything to go by, they probably learned how to box in those schools.
No doubt. Yeah, the fight to survive over there.
Absolutely. I've watched that probably too many times.
Nah, it's worth watching. If you haven't watched it, go and have a look. Hey, we know you love US politics as well, but can you let us know what James Comey's testimony was? What was it? Keep it nice and easy for us to understand with the Trump.
Okay, well, James Comey, I'm a massive fan of The West Wing, and really it really is like a new series of The West Wing. So these are our central characters. James Comey, former head of the FBI. Jeff Sessions, Attorney General. Mike Flynn, sacked head of national security. Donald Trump, Russian puppet in the White House, Vladimir Putin, leader of Russia, and Sean Spicer, the hapless press secretary. So James Comey was testifying last night in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee about why he was sacked or why he thinks he was sacked, and does he think that you know, Trump's involved with the Russians. No smoking gun, but essentially he said he has no confidence in the Attorney General who would leak to the President. Mike Flynn has already been compromised by the Russians. Ooh, juicy stuff. Mm. Donald Trump, he said right at the end, they said, do you think Donald Trump was in collusion with the Russians to fix the election? And he said, I am not going to answer that question.
Ooh. Ooh,
cliffhanger. Cliffhanger for
this
series.
This has got a movie written all over it, hasn't it?
Because what he's basically saying is that investigation is ongoing, but he tacitly said the whole administration is lying.
Mm.
And in fact, he didn't tacitly say it. He said it straight out. Mm. Donald Trump has lied about his interactions with me. So he's called the president a liar.
Juicy.
And it's juicy stuff. And what he was alluding to is that the FBI are investigating the Russian thing, and there probably is there's grounds there. So
Watergate brought down Nixon. Could this bring him down?
What do you reckon will happen, Moan? Seriously, with this,
James Comey will end up either shot or a national hero.
Right.
No, well, that's
what
happens
Trump
in America. Here? I mean, let's go back to 1963. They shot a president.
Yep.
They do shoot people over there.
Well, like I said, Nixon. I mean, it brought down Nixon, this sort of scandal.
Yeah, absolutely. And people have made that parallel many times before. Mm. And it's in these kind of sessions. In fact, it was Nixon who buried himself when he said, the president's allowed to break the law in certain circumstances.
That's right.
Everyone went, what? You know, dog's just ears went up, went,
Now, something far more important before you leave us. This is on a world scale. The Bombers take on Port Adelaide tomorrow night, Moons, and this is do or die.
I love footy cliches, and we've had a lot of season-defining games this year. This is definitely one of them. Port Adelaide, you know, they could do anything. They could end up top four. They could end up bottom four. I mean, they're running hot and cold. But the interesting thing that I've been looking at, and I love a spurious fact, but by the way, I've got a lot of time on my hands, not drinking. There's no grand finalists, recent grand finalists in the top five. The most recent one is Geelong, who played in the 2013 grand final.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what
are you giving yourself a chance, are you?
The AFL will grab to a redeeming fact and say, well, that's indicative of an equal competition, but they'll grab a redeeming fact like a drowning man will cling to a stingray. But that's just interesting that, Fremantle, West Coast and Western Bulldogs, the most recent grand finalists, are in 6th, 7th and 8th. That says we either turn players over too quickly or it is an even competition. Do I give Essendon a chance of making the 8th? The slimmest. We're one game outside.
Righto.
We've got to win against Port, so go Bombers!
I thought we were talking to Lawrence Mee. It was Bruce McAvaney on the phone now. God. Good on you, Lawrence.
You know, the Bombers... Do you know who hates the Bombers the most? It's Bruce.
Oh.
He cannot let go of the 93 preliminary final.
Bruce loves everyone.
Bruce hates the Bombers. As a supporter, you can pick it up.
Have you ever heard him? And he gets
his
lips around
man,
Essendon.
Bruce.
Don't you love the way he says that?
Yeah.
Essendon.
The only one he loves is Joe. It's like, good Joe.
Bruce loves everyone.
Bruce loves everyone.
Yeah. Hey, good on you, Lawrence. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Moon.
Lawrence, the Moon Man, Mooney.
Triple M.
Brew, tell us about the Crows tonight. What's going to happen?
Well, we've got the Crows tonight. We've got Port Adelaide tomorrow night. A couple of massive games again for South Australian football. And it's looking good at the moment if you're a Port Adelaide fan against Essendon. Port Adelaide short price favourites tomorrow night to get the job done away, which is a great sign that everyone thinks they can go over there and knock off the Dons, who are playing some pretty good footy. They kicked over 100 points against GWS, who are playing probably the best footy in the comp at the moment. So Essendon won't be a pushover like the Crows when the Crows beat them earlier on the year. I think Essendon are on the up, but I still think Port Adelaide will win and win well. They're a really good side. Wouldn't be surprised if Port Adelaide finish on top of the ladder, Dits, come later in the season. They've got a very good draw
right on
the way
home.
I haven't
looked that far ahead, so it is a good draw, is it?
Yeah, good draw, and they're playing very, very good football. That's the main reason I'm saying.
I'll take it one week at a time.
Yeah, just like Sam Powell Pepper. But Wingard in for Young. Now, Aaron Young can't get a game. He was one of your best players last year. That is how good your side is at the moment. Absolutely fully fit. Could not have a better side on the deck. And that is why the SANFL side's doing pretty well as well. So I think Port Adelaide will get the job done tomorrow night in Melbourne.
Beauty.
Which will be great for Port Adelaide. Crows tonight on Friday Night Football on the big stage. Absolutely failed last week on Friday Night Football in a big game against the Cats. Can they respond this week? They've been copped a fair whack around the traps from all and sundry, and Don Pike called for a bit of perspective early in the week, but just saying they had a bad night. A couple of blokes, well, only Dave McKay, I should say, has been dropped. Luke Brown's out with a cheekbone.
He's been dropped twice now, David McKay.
Yeah, he got come back in to play a role against the Dockers because they had a few outside players. But the good news story out of this week, apart from Riley Knight being back and being fit, which hopefully he can stay fit for a while, is young Jono Beach is getting a game. I think he's 27 now, Beachy, a young kid from the Riverland. Mark Micken pushed him up to the Crows many years ago, and he's been on the rookie list for a long, long time, Dits. And the poor bugger, his mum passed away last year, and I just hope he comes into the side and plays a ripping game. He deserves a bit of luck, Jono, and from a ripping family, and we love seeing kids debut. So good luck to Jono, and good to see another kid get a chance at the Adelaide Football Club. But St Kilda will try and do what North Melbourne, and what Geelong did last week.
I see Adam Kingsley said yesterday, one of their assistants, he said, we've watched those three games closely.
Yeah, there's a blueprint, and if you're good enough to do the blueprint, well, yeah, then you're a chance to beat the Crows. And the Crows know that, so they'll be pressuring the midfielders. They'll be trying to smash into the midfielders. They'll be trying to tag Rory Sloan. And the Crows, this is perfect for them, but because they need to do that and do it better than they've done it in those losses. So all the key areas in the middle of the ground will be good to see. The bookies have got the Crows at $1.16 and St Kilda $5.25.
Wow.
So they're not giving them any hope of doing it. They haven't been in great form themselves, St Kilda, but they've had a week off. And that's a long time to regroup and get your act back together. So,
Crows will win?
Well, they should. I'm not saying they will because they've been disappointing in my eyes for probably 5 weeks other than the Freo game. So I hope they do, and I hope they get back to their best pretty quick.
All
otherwise,
right.
They'll go down the ladder.
So Crows will win, Port will win. Big weekend coming up for SA Footy. You'll hear it all right here on Triple M as we continue to rock footy. It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Ruined Dits for Breakfast. And, Roo, we have got arguably our greatest ever sportsman on the line. This is very exciting.
Yeah, we have. And for a very, very good reason, too, Dits. And that's what it takes to get Leighton Hewitt on the line. Good morning, Leighton.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
When you come down the slide at the MCG on Monday afternoon at the Queen's Birthday Clash for the Freeze MND Day, are you going to come down the slide and go, come on?
Yeah, probably. Probably. Plenty of energy and... No, that's one of my great qualities, I guess, is going out there and being pretty fired up. And I think I'm going to have to be to hop in another ice bath. It's been a while since I've done one.
Did you used to do them after games in tennis? You would have had to after some of your big duels.
Yeah, most of my matches went for five sets and 5 hours. So, no, I did a lot of them in my career. But I think when you get a bit older, it gets tougher to get out there. So, it's going to be a lot of fun and obviously just a great cause. And caught up with Neil Danaher about a year ago before the second big freeze, and he was just so inspirational speaking with him and going through what he's been through as well. And the tennis community has really been touched by a lot of this. I know Neil talks about beating the beast, and that's what it is. It's about going out there and fighting and trying to find a cure for this.
What about a special outfit? I'm sure you've seen the vision over the last couple of years. People have come out in some kooky outfits. What have you got for us?
Oh, I don't know. I think that's nearly one of the toughest ones. So, this year, obviously, is pretty special because it's a lot of green and gold, and obviously the Australian icons that have represented their country in different sports, especially. And I'm still thinking of a couple of different ideas.
Good. Don't tell me it's a Crows jumper, please. Don't tell me.
Hey, Ice-T, the famous Ice-T, the rapper, he performed in Adelaide the other night in the Crows jumper.
Did
you see that, Dits?
He's got bad taste as well. Let's go to the man. We are so inspired by this fella. He's the one who's behind it all. Unselfishly, it's all about raising money for the disease and for everyone else that's inflicted by it or affected by it. And we're talking about Neil Danaher. He joins us. Neil, good morning.
Good morning, lads.
How you going, Neil? You going all right?
I'm going as good as I can go. It's been a big week, a great week, but it's all about raising awareness of man and neurone disease, Roo. So I'm firing on whatever cylinder I've got left.
Well, you're inspiring everyone a million times over, Neil. It's been unbelievable to watch you do all your interviews. And having your daughter on AFL 360 the other night was absolutely beautiful as well, mate. She's tarred with the same brush as the old man. She's a ripper as well.
It's a big family affair. The brothers and sisters and wider family were all in this together, and it's given me a lot of comfort to know they got my back, and we're working away trying to continue to raise funds. We don't think MND is incurable. It's just underfunded, and we're taking the fight to MND.
Well, Leighton Hewitt's one of the great fighters. Neil, you'd be happy to have him on board?
Absolutely. We've gone with the green and gold fighting spirit, and Leighton was number one for me.
Yeah.
Got great fighting spirit.
Fantastic. Now, we've got Steve Hooker. He might come down a pole vault into it. We've got Elisa Cantlin. Stephen Bradbury will fall over, and he'll come sliding down. Stephen Monteghetti will run his way into it. You've got Andrew Gaze. He'll slam dunk, no doubt about that. You've got Cheryl McMahon and Adam Gilchrist. So an unbelievable lineup. Neil, what about the ways of raising money? I know there's a website here, fightmnd.org.au. You can SMS freeze, and we'll give the phone number out a couple of times, 0429 000 000 000 000 000 000 000 000. What would be your ideal target this weekend, Neil? What would you like to raise?
We don't have a specific target. Every dollar counts. $1, $5, $10, it all goes to research to find an effective treatment and cure, which doesn't exist at the moment.
You have to do a rerun on beanies, won't you, Neil? I heard you had 60,000 beanies made for this weekend, and last night or night before, you only had about 100 left, didn't you?
Yeah, we're sold out online, Roo.
And amazing.
I said to my daughter to come up with the concept 2 years ago, I said, oh, that won't work.
And, Mr. Positive.
We're going to sell 50,000 this year, and we might have to order a few more next year when we go around. But no, they're gone. What people can do is go to our website, fightmnd.org, or SMS, donate, and help us fund research to find the treatment and cure.
Good on you, Neil. Now, Leighton, before you leave us this morning, the Crows, they're travelling all right. Last couple of weeks, a couple of hiccups. How are you seeing them at the moment?
Yeah, no, I was watching actually over in Paris last week, and Geelong's always a tough one for us. The last couple of years we've struggled, and obviously with Dangerfield and Selwood playing so well, but you know, I think we're in a good position. I think we would have taken that at the start of the year. It's a big match this week, though. St Kilda's been a little bit better this year, so you know, it's a good opportunity, but I think you know, if you can try and cement yourself in that top four and give yourself every opportunity in September, then I think we could be there.
Well, Leighton, thank you for coming on, and thanks for helping Neil Danaher in the Freeze MND. I'm sure you'll do everyone proud, and you'll come up with a great outfit on Monday. And to you, Neil, you're an inspiration to the nation, mate, for what you've been doing, how you've conducted yourself over the last few years, and hope it all goes brilliantly for you on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks,
boys.
And thanks, Leighton. Look forward to seeing you Monday, mate.
No worries, mate. Thanks, Neil.
There you go. Leighton Hewitt, Neil Danaher. Once again, Roo, it's freeze, all right? SMS freeze to 0429 000 000 000, 0429 000 000 000, or go to fightmnd.org.au.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruined it. Pressure test.
Righto, we've had a false start with the pressure test this morning.
Well, you know the rules,
yep.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Let's see if this one works out.
Let's go to Old Norlunga. G'day, Kane.
Good morning.
What are you up to today, Kane?
Currently getting the kids ready to drop them off at school.
Good boy. Well done.
Righto.
That's good work. Now you can win $500 for getting that right, mate. You ready go?
Yes, I am.
Okay, give me 10 sneaker brands.
Nike. Adidas, Asics, The Fighter, Reebok, Converse, Deodora, Dunlop, Trax, Amada, Marty, Brooks.
I think we need to go back and check this, do we?
No, let's go straight to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, what's going to happen? Yeah, Kane. Good on you, Kane.
Not a problem.
Now, what was the one you threw in there? A Marty. Ooh, yeah, what's that?
Yeah, nah, I reckon that's more of a dressy shoe.
Yeah, no, we didn't give you a point for that one anyway.
Nah,
you still got your 10. Mate, well done. Really?
Well done, Kano.
There you go. Stay on the line. It's as easy as that. Gee. You can win $500.
And that could have been Josh's.
Yeah, could have been.
Could have been.
Hey, Roo, moving on, because of that false start, we are a little bit behind now, but I just want to go back to last night. Now, people waking up right now may not know this, but Australia has beaten Saudi Arabia 3-2 down at the Adelaide Oval, 30,000 people. The most disrespectful thing, and I'm even going to call this an international incident because this is the World Cup. And they snubbed a minute silence last night, the Saudis. So the ground announcer, Wayne Phillips, did a wonderful job in introducing the fact that there'll be a minute silence for the two young Australians. One of them a South Australian who lost their lives in the terrorist attack in London. The Saudis just carried on, you know, all the Australians lined up as a team, arm in arm, arms around each other's shoulders, and the Saudis just carried on. It totally ignored the minute silence, and their crowd, their supporters, also carried on and made a real din, made a lot of noise during the minute silence. I'm actually suggesting that they no longer take part in the World Cup over this. I think it's so disrespectful, and you've got to react to this. You have to. We all have to be on the same side here in the world at the moment, and for them to ignore that, and we wouldn't do that in their country, and we've had callers already overnight to this radio station saying,
What Saudi Arabia did was really, really, really not cool. The Saudis were saying that they didn't do it because it's not an observance that they believe in, quote unquote, right?
Yep.
The thing is, in our religion, first thing is, under Sharia law, which they so badly love, you are obliged to follow your host country. The second thing is, it's not a religious observance for them to snub it. They shouldn't be snubbing even a religious observance. I've walked into churches before. It's okay when you are respecting somebody else's beliefs to do as the Romans do. Because part of being a Muslim, and this is what you're taught at our Sunday school, is that you have to be accepting of other cultures.
And you know that we respect their culture. You know, we don't agree with a lot of things they do, but we respect it. Mm. And we know that if we visit their countries, Roo, we live by their laws and we obey their laws. And I'm suggesting right now they should get kicked out of the World Cup.
Well, I know this is slightly different. Imagine going to New Zealand and running around and doing your shoelaces up and doing the warm-up while the haka's on or something like that. What would they do to you over there?
Again, it'd be seen as very disrespectful.
But just tell me, so the coach and the players obviously say beforehand when they're doing it, you know, just do what you want.
They must have planned it.
Yeah, but tell me, did they communicate with their supporters, or is this just so normal to them that supporters did what they did? I mean, surely the coach and players wouldn't have communicated with their supporters, would they?
What you're actually doing is snubbing your nose, saying, oh, so two young Australians died, bad luck.
But wouldn't you think
cough it up, like suck it up. It's just so shocking, it's ridiculous.
But do you get my point?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Why are the supporters doing it? They just think it's normal, do they?
They must. I don't know if you agree with me and whether you think I'm going too far with this, but I'd kick them out of the World Cup. I don't know if you want to have your say on this. 133353. But to me, this is the world stage. It's a World Cup. That game is shown right around the world. That's an international incident.
Well, I think the PM should come out and give him a fair smack too.
Give him a whack.
I think it's a massive topic. They need a real spray over this.
What do you think? 133353.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:22, all thanks to Adelaide Tools. I don't know if it's going too far, Roo, but I'd like the Saudis to be kicked out of the World Cup as of today. I think it's terrible. And you're right, I'd like to hear our Prime Minister react to this. An international incident, really, at the Adelaide Oval last night.
It's bigger than sport, Dits, I think.
Yeah.
It's actually disrespecting the country.
Mm.
You know, this is what happened with those two Australians is so sad and disappointing that it's bigger than a soccer game for me.
Mm. So you really, by not respecting a minute's silence,
you're disrespecting the country.
Yeah, it is. And you're just saying, well, we don't care.
You're disrespecting the world.
You are. You're saying we don't care. Don't care about what happened.
No, it's all dust.
133353. Who have you got there, Roo?
I got Tim from Brighton. G'day, Tim.
How you going, gentlemen?
What do you think, Tim?
Well, my question is, how many of their supporters were actually Australians and South Australians?
Probably 90%. I'd say they're from Australia anyway.
And so they know exactly what a minute's silence and the value of it and the respect we should have treated those poor people.
Yeah, that's what I don't get it. I honestly don't get it, Tim.
So if you've got 90% of the people in that audience knowing everyone gives a minute's silence, you look at every football game we play, there's a black armband on a player, everyone knows about it.
Yep.
It's just rude, and they shouldn't be allowed to continue in the cup at all.
And, Roo, let's face it, we can bring this closer to home. If it was Anzac Day and you had a minute's silence and someone in the crowd next to you was singing and yahooing, the crowd would react. They'd say, mate, shut up. I mean,
you know what? If someone did that on Anzac Day, she'd be on.
It would.
And that's why you're pretty frustrated about it, and I am as well. I just can't believe they'd do it. Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Derek.
Yeah, good morning, lads. Happy Friday.
Yes.
Now, boys, I think if we drew a comparison to, say, an incident like what happened in Christchurch a few years ago, imagine if Australia went over there to play a World Cup or soccer match or cricket or something. There is no way in hell. And imagine the roar that would come from our supporters if we were to be so disrespectful and do what Saudi Arabia did last night. You know, I think one good thing that comes from sport is it brings camaraderie.
Yes.
It brings people together. And, I can't believe that happened. That's shocking.
Very well said, Derek. Good on you, mate. Let's go to Paradise. Hello, Ange.
How you going, Dits?
Yeah, good, mate. What would you like to say?
Oh, first of all, I just want to say I totally agree with you. But, look, at the end of the day, Saudi Arabia is one of the most brutal regimes on earth, and we've allowed them into the World Cup. We gave the World Cup to Qatar, probably the most brutal regime on earth. So they're not going to give a crap about the minute silence business. They're throwing homosexuals off roofs.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're getting into other territories there, but they are a brutal regime. There's no doubt about that. And he might be right. I mean, the world, they've awarded a World Cup to that part of the world coming up in, when is it?
2022, was it?
Yeah, 22. So maybe it's a toothless tiger, FIFA, and nothing will happen, but you'd like to think it would. Darren Hinch has just been on Channel 7, and he never holds back. I'm just wondering what he's had to say. If things like this, he tends to get angry. Let's have a listen to Darren Hinch.
Somebody was saying something was lost in translation. That is nonsense. Maybe it had been the birthday of one of the 9/11 terrorists. Maybe they would have worn black armbands. It is an insult. Saudi Arabia, that's where those terrorists came from for 9/11. And you think now that Donald Trump has just gone and done a multi-billion dollar arms deal with that country. It's a disgrace. And it's what they did last night should not be forgotten.
There you go. Darren Hinch coming out very strong.
Hinchy doesn't miss too many, but probably right.
104.7 Triple M.
The QC that represented Carl Williams, Tony Mockbell, Julian Assange, and Chris Dittmer.
You want ants? You can't handle the truth.
And isn't afraid to tell it as it is. Peter Farris.
Righto, Roo, you and I and the public are sick and tired of hearing, he was known to police.
He's on a watch list.
She's on a watch list. What does this mean?
What does it mean? Let's get our QC, Peter Farris, on. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, guys.
What does this actually mean? What are police doing to people that are on a watch list?
Well, sadly, there is no watch list.
Oh, great.
So there's a list, but they're not watching them.
No, it's not even a list. Look, obviously, police and intelligence agencies have people of interest on their database.
Yep.
Okay? And that would be thousands and thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
They may be investigating particular cases.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a separate list, a list of people who they are surveying.
Okay.
No such thing. I mean, and they haven't got the resources to watch someone, literally eyeball them. It takes about maybe six investigators every 24 hours to change shifts and two on each shift. They don't have the resources really to watch anyone very much.
So
watch list doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't. Well, that's what we were worried about because,
nobody's being watched.
Nobody's being watched. There's people that are obviously, if people were typing into their computers, bombs or, extremists. I was sure there's keywords and bits and pieces. There'd have to be some sort of people following that or text messages on phones and stuff like that?
There'd be internet analysts who would have automatic algorithms which would check the internet constantly.
Yep.
And things would be red flagged and things would come up. And they'd be, if there's a terror site overseas, as there's plenty of them, well, then they'd be checking that all the time, but that's not a watch list.
No, not at all. No.
Nobody in Australia is being watched in the sense as a list of 10,000 people who are being watched. No, nothing like it.
Pete, I used an example the other day. Let's say I get pulled over because I'm on my phone driving along in the car, and it's the second time it's happened that year, so they've given me a caution previously. When that police officer pulls me over, my name would come up on their database and they would say, oh, he's done this before, he's had a caution, let's book him. Is that what they probably mean when they say, oh, he was known to police? Would that be right?
Well, you might have done
I mean, with bigger crimes, bigger, I'm saying,
yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, they wouldn't say that for that sort of... But look, yes, they would have... If they'd been watching the person in the sense that they'd been surveying them electronically or they'd done a house raid or something,
yep.
Obviously they're known to police. But known to police really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it ranges from, you know, a parking fine to murder. It doesn't really, and it probably literally only means does it come up on the police crime database. Mm. But it means nothing. Both these things are journalistic expressions to try and take cut corners. But nobody's being watched.
What do you think about parole with people that have been involved or thought
well,
to
Melbourne
be involved
fell. The
or,
Melbourne
with
fell is
terrorism.
A great example.
Yeah, he got off. He got acquitted of those charges, but he's had 10 other misdemeanors of varying degrees, some very significant. Do you think in Australia we are a bit lenient in terms of how we deal with parole?
The parole system doesn't work properly in Australia because we are not tough enough. The politicians and the lawyers, for that matter, take the attitude, well, he served his time. He was given 8 years with a minimum of five. He's done his 5 years. Really, we have to let him out.
Yep.
And that's the position we take. We've always taken, and there will always be these problems until they toughen up. A good example is of being tough is California, and you can look it up on the internet and check the Manson murderers, and they were all eligible for parole, you know, maybe 20 years ago, and none of them ever got parole.
Wow.
They hold public meetings of the parole board. The people are represented by a prosecuting counsel, and the victims get legal representation too and can come along and say, don't parole them. And they don't parole them.
Okay.
Here, nobody gets refused parole. Yeah. Well, virtually, I reckon it wouldn't be 1%
yep.
who get refused parole.
No,
it doesn't
right.
work.
What about, I just want to ask you for your thought on this. Where do you think we should be at with people who have some sort of connection with terrorism or Islamic State or whatever, where we know they've got some sort of connection with them. What should we be doing in Australia? Should they be, you know, can we just deport them? Can we just round them up and jail them? Or can we change the laws? Do you think we need to be much tougher on anyone with any sort of link at all to terrorism?
Yes, absolutely. And I've been saying this for years. We will get tougher when there's more atrocities. It's a very sad thing to say, but it's true. And Australians are extremely tolerant people, but we will only take so much. And I think we'll get a lot tougher if they do what they promise to do, which is to blow up the grand final or something. I think we'll get much tougher. But at the moment, again, it's like parole. We don't have the political willpower to toughen up. Yes, anyone who's had, like this guy in Sydney, in Brighton, was it Sydney?
Brighton.
Like him, he's clearly a potential terrorist. He should be either locked up if he's a big threat or under surveillance in the sense there's some sort of a control order on him. But I think one of them the other day cut their ankle strap.
Yeah, that was him. That was the Brighton fella. He cut his ankle bracelet off
during the crime. I mean, what a joke.
Mm. All right, Peter. Always interesting to talk to you on these topics, and we appreciate your thoughts today. And that's our QC, Peter Farris and Roo. We got the answer. There's no such thing as a watch list. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, to be honest. It's impossible. Imagine the resources, Diz. Yeah. And you're not having one bloke watching one bloke.
No.
You'd, like Pete said, you'd have six probably on one person. So for 3,000 people, we got 20,000 people watching people for just in case they do something.
There you go. Ruined Dits on Triple M. Thanks to Adelaide Tools. End of financial year sale.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M. Pressure! Triple M's 5K Friday pressure test.
Pressure test, eh?
Righto, we've got our man Paul. Good morning.
Good morning, lads. All right?
Yeah, good. Paul from Noarlunga. Now, Paul, you sound like you're from the old country.
Yeah, Essex.
Essex?
Essex.
Yeah, whereabouts?
Harlow.
Righto.
Jamie Oliver country.
Yeah, that's right.
Righto.
Very clever.
Now, if you're from Harlow in Essex, who do you follow in the soccer?
Liverpool.
Liverpool? How did that work out?
When I was in Wyala, first lad that I had to look after at school, he was from Liverpool.
Right.
Yeah, started following him.
Okay.
My brother and mum still go for West Ham.
Do they?
Yeah.
West Ham.
And you know you got on here because we're a softies, Dits and I, and you look after your mum. That's your job at the moment.
Yeah,
and she's 83 and she's had a bit of bad luck, but she's nice and positive and going well, and she'd love nothing more than for you to win $5,000 as we would, so... You ready to go?
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, we just need a bit of background on you. Are you a drinker? Do you like your booze or not?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Have you got a sweet tooth? Hang on.
Go with that one then, the one that you're going to go with.
Righto.
Not the one you just asked about.
Righto.
We've got a couple of topics. We're just trying to help you, Paul. We're trying to look after you.
All right. We want you to win $5,000.
Just get your brain ready to go.
I'm hoping when you're sitting home at night watching telly with the 83-year-old mum that you buy these, all right? And you know your Cadbury family block?
Chocolate?
Here we go. 30 seconds. Give me 10 varieties.
Plain, caramello.
Yep.
Snack, fruit and nut, hazelnut, cashew nut. Mint. Dark old rum and raisin.
Pretty good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Correct.
$800.
Cheers, lads.
800.
Back of the net.
Oh, that was pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
That was like Ian Rush putting one into the net.
Exactly.
What did we miss out
Kenny
on
there? Kenny Dalglish.
Ditsy chocolate freak.
Oh, you could have got, you didn't say roasted almond, I don't think. Then you've got what's the new one, Marvellous Moments or something?
Marvellous
Creations.
Here comes Mel the Button Pusher with a
chocolate.
I'm pregnant, I'm eating a lot of this stuff. There's Bubble, Marvellous Creations, we've mentioned, Dream Block, Top Deck, Turkish Delight.
Crunchy. Mate, you're
well,
close.
Though.
Very close.
Cheers, lads.
Now, good luck with mum.
All right.
And well done for what you do. Now, next week, we've got a big announcement to make, Roo, haven't we?
We have got a
big
announcement.
With $5,000.
We've opened the purse strings here at Triple M, and we are going to give a lucky listener every day at 8 o'clock the chance to win $5,000.
So next week.
Every single day.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah. Paul from Noarlunga, good on you, mate. Well done.
Thank you, lads. Much appreciated.
$800.
Well done, buddy.
Cheers. See you later.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.